It's the Law is Cool podcast, episode 16. Hello and welcome to the Law is Cool podcast. My name is Devin Johnston. A little bit later on in the show today, the prolific Omar Haredi talks shop at a meeting of podcasters and discusses how a Bruce Lee quote inspired him to improve his public speaking, so you won't want to miss that. But first, we're talking about jobs, and from my perspective, I'm a second-year student at the Robson Hall Faculty of Law, and last week we had our school's career fair. And as you can imagine, it was mostly dominated by large corporate law firms trying to sell us on the idea of working 100 hours a week. And that's not everybody's cup of tea. But on the other hand, you've still got to pay the bills somehow. And the National Law Journal reported that in the U.S., the average law student will graduate with a debt load of about $73,000. So you've got to look for work somewhere. Increasingly, law school graduates and practicing lawyers are looking for careers that are a little bit off the beaten path. And if that describes you, you might consider starting your job search at a new site called AlternativeLawyerJobs.com. For more information, I'll turn things over to Omar Haredi, who spoke to Steve Fine from Alternative Lawyer Jobs.
So today we're here with Stephen Fine, who is the founder of Alternative Law Jobs. Or Alternative Lawyer Jobs, I believe, is the new name, right?
Yeah, that's the new name of the site, yeah.
And you're in Toronto right now.
I am, absolutely. Thank you for having me today.
Okay, and Stephen, what are you doing in Toronto? I mean, do you have a Canadian connection here? It looks like your site is North America.
It is North America. I'm actually in Toronto right now, just visiting in Toronto. I'm based
okay.
out of Vancouver.
Okay.
And the site is really is the goal is to be North America wide. So
okay.
The goal is to cover Canada and the United States.
And you're Canadian then yourself? Then you're from BC?
Yes, I am. I'm from Toronto originally. I'm out in BC right now.
Okay. And did you go to law school in Canada as well, Stephen?
I did. I went to Western.
You went to Western. You're one of our alum. That's wonderful.
I am, absolutely.
Okay. So maybe you could tell us a little bit. How did you get interested in having a site like this?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my background, and I think that that will help explain it a little bit.
Okay.
I realized early on in my career that I did not want to use my law degree to practice traditional law. I articled on Bay Street, realized it wasn't for me. My goal was to use my law degree both as an in-house counsel, in an in-house counsel capacity, as well as in various business interests. And
okay.
I've been fortunate enough to be able to do that. I act as in-house counsel for a software company now, and I also have interests in various businesses. And my law degree has served me well in creating all of these opportunities. On top of that, there are a number of colleagues of mine who are looking for the same types of opportunities. They're not looking for traditional practice. They're not looking for private practice.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for other opportunities, whether it's in-house counsel, law-related, non-legal, entrepreneurial opportunities, and there are a number of them out there, but they don't know where to find them, and there's no resource for people to go to find these types of opportunities, and there's conversely, there's no place for employers and people who have these opportunities to go and find individuals with legal backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So the site acts as somewhat of a clearinghouse to connect the two sides.
Okay. And you know, just from looking at your site, it seems like there's current job listings posted on a regular basis, and a lot of them seem to be drawn from other, you know, job sites like Monster or what was the other one that I saw?
Well,
that's jobs.
Absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely true. There are a number of different sites that we draw from, and the focus, the decision on the site was to have as many resources as possible. So
okay.
jobs come from two different routes. We seek out jobs on a number of different websites that would be relevant to the audience that would be interested in those jobs and would be visiting our site, namely lawyers who are interested in alternative careers.
Okay.
So we seek those out, post links to those jobs. In addition, from the site, recruiters, employers, startups, they all have the opportunity to post jobs directly on the site or post their own links to jobs that they've either posted on their own site or on third-party sites.
Okay.
The goal is to make it as open as possible for anybody to be able to post these jobs and to have as many opportunities to post those jobs on the site as possible.
Now, is there any screening at all of these jobs? Or, I mean, do you guys look at them at all?
Every job is screened.
Okay.
So, you know, because on a site, especially when you have an open policy and anybody can submit, mm-hmm. sure as you know, you would always have quality control issues.
Yeah.
So every job, you know, obviously if they're screened by the staff that's working on the site right now, then obviously it's screened ahead of time. And any jobs that are submitted by third parties aren't published to the site until they're given a review by people who are screening the jobs coming in. So.
Okay. And seeing how you're based in Canada, what made you choose to do a site that's basically covering all of North America?
Well, I think that it's something of value that would really people would appreciate in both Canada and the United States.
Okay.
Beyond that realm, I think that it's really it would, for example, a site in let's say the UK or Australia or you know any other country for that matter. Would require a more of an understanding of the local marketplace and the individuals, the different resources that are available, and what the climate is within that country.
Okay.
And obviously, being in North America, from Canada to the United States isn't much of a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Lawyers seem to have similar attitudes towards these types of opportunities in both countries.
And have you placed Canadian lawyers, then, in alternative legal careers in the U.S.?
Well, we haven't heard of anybody yet specifically,
mm-hmm.
But as you know, the site is just in its infancy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a number of things planned in order for our to have the site grow in terms of exposure and in terms of the number of opportunities that are posted on the site.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about those plans? What do you have in store for the site?
Well, there's only certain things I can discuss, certain things I can't right now.
Okay.
But generally what we're doing is we're in discussions with a number of people and recruiters, different associations related to that are law related in order to make the site known to either their members or lawyers or to let individuals know that the site's available for them to post their opportunities on. Because, you know, as I said before, we want there to be as many opportunities as possible on that site.
Yeah.
And the more people that know about the site, the more people are going to post on the site as well.
Okay. And looks like you guys have a career blog here as well. And just, you know, looking at some of the headlines, it talks about law students leaving the profession in droves, some lawyers finding happiness doing some other stuff outside of the law, in-house pay pays better than you think. Another one that I saw that was interesting are women are fleeing the legal careers more than men. So, mm-hmm. I mean, is this going to be a resource in terms of news and information as well?
Absolutely. I mean, we try to track all of the news that's related to alternative careers for lawyers and consolidate it in one place.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our goals. So we want to provide as much information as well, in addition to the job opportunities. In addition, you know, the site's going to evolve over time, and there are a few other ideas that we're kicking around right now where we may add even more information and more resources to the site.
Okay. And if someone's looking for a job and they don't want to check your site all the time, what's an easy way that they can get updates as to new jobs that come across your way?
Well, we do have a job alert sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Where people can sign up and receive job alerts to their email. We are also going to be adding an RSS feed to the site so people can get jobs directly to their RSS feeder.
Great, great. And what about employers? If they wanted to post a job or contact you guys about the process, how would they do that?
They can do it directly through the site. We have a contact form. And we've tried to make the job posting process as simple as possible.
Okay.
For anybody who wants to post, it's essentially a one-step process. They would click on the post a job section. There's no requirement to register, and as we said, there's no fee either. So
mm-hmm.
Posting the job is a very simple process. It takes less than a minute to post a job.
Well, it sounds exciting. And do you see, I mean, are there other sites out there that do this kind of stuff? Because I really haven't seen too much. But, I mean, are you guys the only ones? Are you leaders? Is there a lot of competition?
As far as I know, we're the only ones that focus on this particular area within the legal profession. There are mm-hmm. some other sites out there that focus specifically just on in-house positions.
Okay.
There are individuals out there who do career consulting but don't actually help the lawyers who are seeking opportunities find specific jobs. They sort of guide them in the direction that they may want to go in. So
okay.
as far as we know, we're the first ones to focus on this because there are, I'm not sure if you found this, but there are a number of people who aren't really sure which direction they want to go with their law degree. And, you know, they're open to in-house positions, law-related positions, such as, you know, being a legal recruiter or legal writing, or non-legal opportunities or opportunities to join startups or entrepreneurial opportunities as well.
Definitely a lot of choices there, and we have done some interviews in the past in relation to some of those choices with a legal background. So this definitely is exciting. What would you recommend in terms of law students who are trying to sort their way through this mess and figure out where they want to go? What would you recommend to them?
Well, I would recommend that they visit the website, of course. But mm-hmm. beyond that, I think that a lot of these opportunities are found through networking as well.
Okay.
I think that people should look to their strengths. And their interests in terms of what they're interested in doing, what their, you know, I hate to use the term, but hobbies as well, what
okay.
their passions are, and try to see how they can use that law degree within that realm. Joining associations within the areas that interest you is always a great way to network. And there are a number of skills that are transferable, so you may want to look for opportunities that transfer well from a legal degree into other areas. For example, lawyers are generally good writers, strong negotiators,
mm-hmm.
Good analytical thinkers, and you might want to seek out jobs that require those skills.
It would make sense. Now, how would you deal with the issue of, for example, poachers, like recruiters who are going to poach jobs from your site and try to find practicing lawyers and put them together using the material that's found on your site. I mean, is that an issue for you, or do you welcome that kind of a challenge?
Well, we want an open policy, and we want people to be able to, you know, the goal is to help lawyers find the suitable careers for them. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
if there's anybody that's abusing the site in terms of how it works or in terms of collecting information on users that's inappropriate, for example, people who are job seekers, obviously we'd have to deal with that. But in terms of individuals posting legitimate jobs on the site, we have no problem with anybody doing that.
Okay. And I guess you raised another question in terms of, and I guess this goes generally for a lot of these job sites, what type of privacy issues arise for job seekers, and would you provide any tips or recommendations in terms of sensitive information that should be avoided when looking for jobs online?
Well, you know, I think that everybody really has to use common sense when they're seeking out an opportunity. You may not want to give out all your information at once. You may want to contact that individual first to make sure that they're legitimate with an introductory email that doesn't give out too much information,
mm-hmm.
see where the email comes from, what their email address is, to see if it matches with their website, little things like that. And I think that people are generally pretty good at using common sense, but it's always good to be cautious, as you mentioned.
Okay, well, great. One more time, the website is?
AlternativeLawyerJobs.com.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us today, and I'm sure this will be a valuable resource for us all.
Great. Thanks, Omar. It's been a pleasure.
That was Omar Haredi speaking to Stephen Fine of AlternativeLawyerJobs.com. Well, Omar also recently attended a meetup for podcasters, and as you can well imagine, somebody brought a microphone. So up next, we have a discussion between Omar Haredi and Danny Rossi. Danny is from the podcast Stuttering is Cool, which describes itself as an open mic podcast for stutterers. They talked about podcasting, public speaking, and martial arts. Let's have a listen.
So I'm speaking with Omar of the Law is Cool podcast.
Yeah, it's not too dissimilar from yours.
No, it's not. It's not. First, tell us about your show.
Well, we try to keep it at least once a month. We're a collection of law students from across Canada, and we're basically speaking on legal issues and things going on in the legal field. And it's entirely a student-run initiative and the first of its kind in Canada.
And you can find that at
lawiscool.com.
Really? I did not see that coming at all. No. Wow. Well, my podcast, Stuttering is Cool.
There you go.
So you were saying that you have a patented mantra or
such,
which caught my ears because I said, hey, that's perfect for my show, which is why I'm interviewing you. And you were mentioning that you are improving your public speaking skills because public speaking is so important in law. So I thought, okay, we're interviewing. So
let's do it. Yeah, no, I agree. This is public speaking is a very important tool in the legal field. And one of the things which I drew inspiration from was a Bruce Lee quote that I read quite some time ago. I used to have a background in martial arts. I guess I still have a background
really?
In martial
which
arts.
One?
Muay Thai.
I'm so dying to learn Muay Thai.
It's fun. It's a lot
You've
of fun.
You've got to teach me.
I got injured, actually, so I can't do it anymore.
What happened? You didn't wear the cup?
Not that kind of injury.
Oh, okay,
it was a muscle
good.
Injury, but yeah, no, I can't do it competitively anymore. But the quote that I got was a Bruce Lee quote, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And what Bruce Lee said, and you know, Bruce Lee is obviously regarded very highly in the martial arts community. He said that someone who doesn't feel butterflies in their stomach before they get into a fight is probably going to lose. The butterflies are completely natural and normal. What the trick is to take those butterflies and channel them in the right direction. And what I would argue, or what I would say, is the exact same principles apply to public speaking. So,
yes.
Especially, you know, I would say, for me as a law student, learning how to speak better, as someone with a stutter, trying to speak or project themselves in a way that which they want to speak, the same principles apply. It's all about learning how to take that nervousness and put it in the right direction and channel it so you present yourself properly.
So when you're public speaking, how do you channel that nervousness? Where does that go? See, for me, it's like I have to wear a Depends. So that nervousness channel... I'm just kidding. Making another bad joke that went nowhere. So, sorry. I'm a terrible joke
master. That was actually a good one.
No, it wasn't. So you're presenting or what have you. What do you do to channel that nervousness?
Well, it's more about knowing yourself and knowing how you react or how you act when you're nervous. So some people, their hands sweat a lot, in which case you probably want to have a napkin on hand it's also about channeling your emotions and being able to control your emotions, and that just takes practice over time. But it's a lot of the external things you have to be aware of as well. So depending on the context in the legal field, there are times when you have to be animated. You want to be animated and be interesting to an audience. There's other times when you have to be very formal and stiff in terms of the manner in which you project yourself, both in the words, but also in your physical language as well. And so if you're being more formal, you have to be stationary. You can't be moving, you can't make hand gestures, you can't be fidgeting, you can't be leaning back and forth. And all of those are unconscious habits which people do and are more likely to do when they're nervous. So what is helpful is not only having other people give you feedback in terms of when they see you public speaking, especially people that you trust, what I think has been useful for me has been podcasting, believe it or not. So
yeah.
One of the reasons why I got involved in podcasting was so that I could hear myself. And it's completely normal and natural to keep in some of the ahs and ums, but sometimes I thought, okay, I'm doing that a little bit too much. Or I want to be different in this way or in that way, depending on what the setting is or depending what the audience is. And podcasting allowed me to listen to myself critically. And we never sound the way we think we sound. And that's
exactly.
Always a challenge and a surprise as well when you first hear yourself. But it also gave me an opportunity over and over and over again to get better and better and better in terms of what I want to be. Now, it's very subjective, and that's why I don't want to say to people, this is the one way you have to be if you're going to do public speaking.
All
it's
right.
Better in terms of what you think is best and what your goals are. And that's all dependent on the circumstances and the context and of what you're trying to accomplish.
So, walking up to a salesperson in a closed store mm-hmm. is different speaking experience than saying your name in class, for example, versus giving a presentation in class, giving a speech or presentation work or my office.
No, all of those different you know, environments have a different level of formality, a different level of congeniality that go with it. So, I mean, you really have you're going to have a different tone, you're going to have a different demeanor, you're going to have a smile. If I'm too smiley with the lady in the department store, she might think it's inappropriate. Whereas if it's with my peers in my classroom, it's not only acceptable, but it's going to help create a more friendly environment. So all of those different types of things, and this is, again, something I'm learning as we go along, you want to keep in mind in advance to speaking, especially if you know you're going to be speaking somewhere. You want to keep those things in mind. Think about them in advance. Not dwell on them while you're speaking, but at least have thought about them so you have a strategy in terms of how you're going to approach that public speaking.
Now, I noticed that you are keeping amazing eye contact when you speak. I think you're probably the only person I've met maybe in the last 6 months who was like keeping constant eye contact. Did you train for that, or is it just a natural ability for you, or did you take any public speaking courses or anything like that? Or are you just hearing this for the first time?
I mean, a little bit of both. I think, you know, again, I'm very much circumstances dependent. So I think when I'm in a crowded room and I'm having a casual conversation and my back's to a wall, I'm very much keeping an eye on what's going on in the room. When I'm having a one-on-one conversation, I really do want to give that person my full and undivided attention, and everything else sort of fades out.
Yeah.
But to also fully answer your question, I did formally study public speaking at Centennial College. I did a postgraduate certificate in public relations prior to going to law school. And there's a number of reasons why I did that. I thought it would be a good background to have for law school, not only in terms of the writing skills, but also in terms of the public speaking, as we've mentioned. And then one of the things that we did do in class was speak in front of the class on a subject, have it videotaped, and we watched it, but our classmates also watched it, and that was one of the ways which we got better.
You had to, the whole class had to watch your video.
Yes.
I would have crapped my pants right then and there and channel the butterflies in the most inappropriate way. I hate watching myself on video. How did the other students react? And were there any stutterers in that class?
There, you know what, they're always, we all stutter. I mean, I think the reality is, you know, some people think that it's only people who are habitually stutter, but I think I've caught myself stuttering several times even now, and I think that's just, it's part of speaking. It's like the ums and ahs that everybody does, and I think as we were talking about earlier, even scripted interviews on CBC or professional radio, they'll actually add in an or ah or a stutter to make it sound more natural. Stuttering is completely normal and completely natural, so it's not something to be averse of by itself in any way. In terms of other classmates, there was, you know, different levels of comfort and familiarity in terms of public speaking. I think I was a little bit more comfortable than the others, so what I was looking to do was improve on, whereas other people, this was their first time doing something like this, and it was more to get the jitters out. But you really, I mean, the more you do this, the more and more and more you do this, the more and more you public speak, the easier it gets. And you'll get your climax or your pinnacle moment, and after that, everything, you know what, that's sort of, I look back to my pinnacle moment, I sort of laugh and I say, you know what, in comparison, this is nothing. And that sort of helps, again, we're talking about channeling the emotions and controlling it. Putting things in perspective always, always helps. For me, and I've read stuff about this too. I mean, that's why you hear about these people who they say, you know, when you're public speaking, pretend as if people in the audience are naked. Now, I don't know if I would necessarily
Does
that do that.
Work?
I don't know if it. Yeah, it depends on who the person is, right?
On how many, you know, beautiful blondes are sitting in the front row. Yeah.
If it was, that might be actually
that was kind
a bad
of inappropriate
thing.
Of me for me to say it's, that.
No, not at all.
Apologies to all the hot women listening. Go on. Yes, go on. Continue.
So
I'm a pig.
I think what the concept behind that, which is more important, the concept behind that is that if you are feeling very nervous and very formal, doing that type of exercise, picturing people naked in the audience, makes it very informal all of a sudden. And you kind of laugh, not out loud, but inside your head to make it more informal and say, hey, you know what, it's not such a big deal. And then you go ahead with this. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're supposed to sit there and think, hey, she's naked, and he's naked, and everybody's naked
eyes,
while you're talking. No, I think it's more of an exercise. You sort of like get over that nervousness and then you move on. And there's lots of different exercises that people can do. And again, what works for one person is not going to work for another. So everybody has to figure out what works for them.
Okay. Good, good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Danny Rossi from Stuttering is Cool talking to Omar Haredi from Law is Cool. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show, but keep listening in to the Law is Cool podcast at lawiscool.com.